This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. You're listening to The Morning Run. It's 7.05 a.m. on Friday, the 11th of February. I'm Shazana Mukhtar together with Khoo Soo Chuang and Tan Chen Li. But as we always do at this point of the morning, let's recap how global markets closed yesterday.
U.S. markets performed as expected, which is down all the way. Dow down 1.5%, S&P 500 down 2%, Nasdaq down 2.1%. Asian markets faring better, Nikkei up 0.4%, Hang Seng up 0.4%, Shanghai Composite up 0.2%, STI up 0.2%, FBM KLCL up 1.2%.
But this is all before Asian markets digest the news of U.S. CPI that just came out. And so for some insights on how these trends are affecting global markets, we have with us Tim Mulholland, president of TJM Limited in Chicago. Tim, good morning. Thanks for joining us today. So first off, of course, we have to ask you, what were your thoughts on the latest U.S. CPI numbers, the highest in four decades? What's going on here?
Well, it wasn't a surprise to me. I mean, the number was obviously higher than expected. But, you know, I haven't seen any signs of any moderation of inflationary pressures. And I haven't actually seen the Fed do anything other than talk. About this, and I think they made a major policy mistake, as Mohammed Alarian has, clearly pointed out for the past several months. But, you know, again, people think that this is a transitory deal here because it's COVID-related, but I think there's a lot more behind that. And, you know, I think it's, if it pulls back, which it's certainly not going to remain at 7.5%, but let's say it pulls back to 4 or 5%, that's not so hot either.
Tim, what do you mean by you agreeing with Mohammed Alarian that there was a major policy mistake by the Fed? Can you expand on that idea?
Yeah, they pin rates to zero. They increased their balance sheet from $4 trillion to $9 trillion, all this in a year and a half. You've obviously seen COVID and the opening up of the economy and economic activity increasing, and they've sat on their hands waiting for this employment, which has come in. And I think the ultimate question, and I think illustration of that point, why on earth were they buying mortgage-backed securities over the past year when home prices have gone through the roof? Now, you wouldn't see that in the CPI because they use an owner's equivalent rent, which showed housing prices only up 3%, where in fact the housing market was up 17% last year. But nevertheless, the Fed buying mortgage-backed securities throughout that and still buying them, again, I think that they went a little too much. They did. I think it's a mistake. They should have tightened earlier. Now they're going to be forced to do something more aggressive and risk breaking something.
Well, that's the thing now, because St. Louis Fed President Jim Bullard, he's gone full hog tied, Tim. He actually favors 100 bip rate increase by July the 1st, and maybe the first 50 bip increase in one sitting since 2000. In fact, there's whispers of an inter-meeting increase, which is basically one which there's an emergency rate hike even before March. What do you think about those issues? Mm-hmm.
Well, the emergency rate hike, I think, is a non-starter because they haven't even quit their buying yet. They're going to stop that by March. There's a 75% chance that the market gave for a 50 basis point rate hike. I tend to think they're going to go a little less aggressive on the rate hikes because I think that'll hurt vulnerable people and businesses more. I think that they should. I don't know if they will, but I think that we might hear that they're going to be a little more aggressive on their balance sheet reduction and perhaps even some yield curve control where they could steepen the yield curve, which is what we need. But nevertheless, I don't think this Fed has the guts to go aggressive on rate hikes.
And what about suggestions that there could be as many as six hikes this year?
Let's see, six hikes this year, I would agree with. I think they're going to go every meeting, 25 basis points. Six rate hikes this year takes you to 1.5% funds. If inflation's running, let's say inflation's even 2%, that's still a negative real funds rate. That's not that's still easy. That's not even neutral.
2021 was a massive year for share buybacks in the U.S. Do you see the same trend happening this year? And why are they mostly concentrated in the financial and technology sectors?
I think that you're going to see a lot of that. And the banks have been waiting for that. The technology, obviously, some of these behemoths, Apple and so forth, are going to return money to shareholders and excess cash, Microsoft, so forth. So they can do that. But I think one of the bigger, to me, share buybacks, those that are going to return more to shareholders, are going to be energy companies. I think that they're going to be very much are in play with that. And I also think that food goods producers, companies with excess cash flow, they're going to return money to shareholders through buybacks and dividends. And I think that's, you have to really look at the energy sector as one of the biggest is that in that group as well.
Yeah, Tim, on the energy sector, obviously, we are reading that oil inventories in the U.S. lower since 2014, trading about $91 a barrel on Brent. What's your sense of where oil prices go from here on in? Some people are just even suggesting as much as $120 a barrel.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've probably been bullish on oil, maybe too bullish at times, but the fact is they're not getting anything out of the ground, and they haven't been. And given this green push, they probably won't. Who's going to want to invest in that? So you still see a lot of the economy runs on fossil fuels. So obviously you have a supply-demand imbalance, and I think that's going to play right into these rising prices. It's beyond me why this fracking was so discouraged in the U.S. because, you know, we were in control of that and had a little more control of supply and so forth. And I think right now the policies that are in place are going to encourage higher energy prices, and maybe that's intentional to get us off fossil fuels quicker. But nevertheless, I think it bodes for higher oil prices for sure.
Well, that's the thing. A lot of the big oil majors have transitioned to the green agenda, which means that, you know, there may not be much of a proposition where the oil price rally is concerned. What about the smaller shale producers in America, obviously, which would be really, you know, in the green, in the black, where oil prices are currently?
Well, I guess the ones that don't rely on federal land, because you're not allowed to frack there. But I think they can start ramp up pretty quick. I would actually think those that can will be very, you know, will reap the rewards of that as well. But they can ramp up fairly quick. It's just outlawed or illegal on federal lands. So I do think that Marcellus Shale region up in the southeast Ohio, western Pennsylvania area probably is good. But I think that's going to be, yes, certainly, I think. And I think that when prices keep rising and energy prices rise, I think it's going to actually not be so frowned upon by the administration either.
Tim, let's end on the financial sector. Given the Fed's hawkish stance, what impact will this have on the earnings of U.S. banks this year? Do you think it's going to affect their dividend payout ratio?
Yeah, I'm not so sure. I think banks are priced pretty fully, though, right here. But I think that it's going to really matter on this yield curve. You know, if we get a flat inverted yield curve, forget it. But I don't think that the Fed is going to be crazy enough, but maybe they will, to engineer an aggressive rate hike. As I mentioned, they should do a little more of the balance sheet reduction and perhaps selling of some longer maturities to steepen the yield curve, i.e. yield curve control, like the Bank of Japan, which incidentally increased their from 0 to 20 basis point positive JGB. But nevertheless, I think a steep yield curve is good and will keep their earnings. But, you know, let's also face it, their loan demand's down because what people are really missing, and I think those especially that talk about money velocity, is the private direct lending sector, which is the shadow bank, which is over $1 trillion or approaching $1 trillion in lending. So banks have had trouble lending money to begin with, and a lot of that goes back to Dodd-Frank. But a steep yield curve will help. A flat and inverted yield curve will kind of be a headwind for them.
Tim, thanks very much for speaking to us this morning. We'll catch up again in 2 weeks. That was Tim Mulholland, president at TJM Limited in Chicago, talking to us about some of the trends that are impacting markets, inflation rates, and just the prospects of interest rate hikes is definitely the top thing on the agenda.
Yeah, so the big news last night was the inflation print, right? And that's the highest since 1982, which is when at the time when the Fed funds rate was actually 11.5%. Today, we're at zero, right? So even with six increases on the cards, it's only going to get us to ostensibly 1.5% by the end of this year. Just let that sink in for a while. That's the first observation. The second observation is the fact that we've got this transition from oil into the green agenda, right? But the thing is, people are not using renewables as much as they can because the availability is just not there. So you've got all this demand which is status quo and even increasing because lockdowns have ended, right? But then you've got significantly less investment in fossil fuels than before because people are transitioning to the green agenda, which is a perfect recipe and a perfect storm for oil prices just to go berserk, which is what it is doing now.
And supply issue as well.
Exactly.
We don't
because
have sufficient
of the supply.
Supply
shortages.
Yes. And we have a few things that's going on as well. The Ukraine and the Russian geopolitical tension as well. So we don't know how that would pan out, and that would add more pressure to the supply as well.
That's right.
So conundrum in the commodity sector, whether that will balance itself out sooner rather than later, is something we're going to keep watching.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.